Good evening and welcome back to the 33rd episode of Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Kathy Moser. I'm so pleased to be bringing you this show. Once again, I'm on the East Coast tonight and it is downpouring. So if you hear any loud noises behind me during the broadcast, that's because it's probably thunder and lightning. I'm very pleased to be able to bring you this interview today with John Batdorf. He's a very different kind of guest for this show, which I think is great because you're not going to hear the same thing over and over again. When you tune in, that gives you good reason to tune back in because you never know exactly what you're going to get. John Batdorf is an award-winning songwriter. He has traveled all over the world. He has, oh my gosh, I think like over 20 albums out. And he has just recently released a CD called Soundtrack to Recovery. And he's going to be talking about that, what brought him in his musical journey to do this album. And we're going to be playing some tracks from the album. So I'm going to bring you over now to my interview on the phone with John Batdorf.
Welcome back to another episode of Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery on City of Angels Recovery Radio. I am Kathy Moser, your hostess with the Moses. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We have a great show for you today. I'm so pleased to be able to welcome John Batdorf, who's a professional musician who has decided to turn some of his attention to using the power of music to assist in recovery. John, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show today.
Well, thanks for asking, Kathy.
Yay. So, John, I think you have a little bit of a different story about how you came to be using music in the recovery sphere. And I'm really glad. I'm always happy when we get people with, you know, the more different kinds of people, the more different stories we have, the more different people we could reach. So could you tell me a little about your musical journey and how you came to use that to help support people's recovery?
Sure. When I was 15 years old, I left Beaver Creek, Ohio. This is 1967 with a band that was supposed to go out to California for the summer. And I was supposed to come back home and start my sophomore year of high school. And we were chaperoned. We came out and we kind of got a deal with Atlantic Records and started cutting some demos. And then the band fell apart like a lot of bands do. And instead of going back to Beaver Creek, somehow I finessed a way to stay out in California and did my schooling. But I knew that California was where I needed to be because I knew from a very early age that music was what I needed to do because it was the only thing I was actually better than most people at.
Mm-hmm.
So I continued on and I was in some bands and was writing songs at a very early age. And because I didn't have parents around me at the time, I listened to, there was so much great music in, you know, from 67 to 68, 69. And I learned a lot about life just listening to great writers and great songs. And I knew how important that was to me and how that helped mold my life later on. And then when you flash forward, you know, some 42 years, whatever it is, my son, I had two sons, and one of my sons in his high school, his last year of high school, got very, very much into drugs and escalated into really bad, bad drugs, methamphetamine being the worst of them, which I think is the devil's drug, if there is such a thing. And I was from my wife and I, I've been married for 40 years. My wife and I grew up in the era of the, you know, the big pot boom and Summer of Love and all that. So we kind of got the drug thing, but we didn't get this drug thing. And we had no idea how to reach him. He was not responding to our pleas about, you know, what this was going to do to him and, you know, on and on and on. And so, you know, I've been writing with a friend of mine, Michael McLean, and I talked to Michael back in 2000, and I think it was 2004, was telling him about, you know, the dilemma, and I said, what if we wrote a song and made it especially for Matt without really bringing his name into it or well, you know, this is a song about drugs. Just write a song that maybe that he could relate to and maybe would help break down the barriers that were put up because of this bad situation. So the first song we wrote was a song called I Don't Always Win. It's a song about someone who is trying to recover from drug use, or, as it turns out, in this particular record, could be anything. And the struggle it is to come back all the way and not expect to fall down. And so I made a demo of this song. We thought we had written a song that was powerful and would possibly do what we wanted. So I made a demo of it and picked up my son in the car, told him I had a new song, new demo, and I played it for him. And there was this immediate light bulb thing that happened then. I kind of can't describe it, but he knew what the song was about, and he knew why I was playing the song, but it was really never said. It opened up such a channel that Michael McLean and myself decided that maybe we were onto something and that maybe we needed to continue doing this.
So let's interrupt the interview for a second and listen to this song that got this project started for John Batdorf and Michael McLean. This is a song called I Don't Always Win off their album called Soundtracks to Recovery.
I'd be a liar if I said that I'm all right. There's no denying that I'm better than I've been. But every hour I'm alone, it's still a fight. But I don't always win. No need to tell me what will happen if I lose. I know the hell that will await me once again. But it's a battle, that's the reason for these blues. 'Cause I don't always win. No, I don't always win. Such a sweet companion when I feel abandoned. Keeps poison. Around. Have you decided yet whose corner you'll be in? If it's a champion you think you might have found, well, I don't always win. Still that sweet companion when I feel abandoned. Every hour that I'm alone, it's still a fight. that I don't always win. No, I don't always win.
So, 10 years in the making, and lots of songs. We finally put the record out last year, and I do want to say that my son now is clean and sober and wants to help with this project, and has passed it on to many of his friends. And Michael and I have gone out and played kind of a couple of recovery centers. We just played one, a UVU drug conference up in Utah, and people didn't know who we were, and we didn't know how they would actually react to what we were doing, thinking that, you know, who the heck are these guys? Because neither one of us are addicts. We just tell them that we're recovering perfectionists, which there actually is no cure for. Which is one of the reasons why, it's one of the reasons why the record was supposed to be 12 songs for 12 steps, and we ended up putting songs on it, so that kind of speaks volumes of that. Every time we've played, it's been remarkable. You know, there's always that tentative beginning when you start singing the songs, and you think, well, what is this, and who are these guys? And by the end of every show we've ever done, it's been this incredible, incredible feedback from the audience. And before the record was even out, people were saying, we want this record, you know, please hurry, please make this. This is important. We need to hear this. Because the premise, in a way, was that Michael found out that when someone is admitted to a recovery center, they take away their music because they feel that that is their soundtrack to addiction. And we wanted to make a soundtrack to recovery, which we didn't know if anyone had done it before, and we know we're not, you know, the first guys to think of something like this. But we think
right, just for the audience to know, the album, that's the title of the album. It's called Soundtracks to Recovery, and tracks is spelled T-R-A-X, and number two. So Soundtracks to Recovery is the name of the album.
And as we went on, we realized that, you know, everybody in life is recovering from something, and we didn't want to just make this about drugs. There's songs about couples recovering and just recovering from illnesses, because, I mean, really, I don't think I know anyone who's recovered from some serious situation in their life. So we wanted to make kind of an album of hope without making it sound like an album of hope, just a song
right.
about real-life stuff and that people could relate to without feeling like they were being preached to or asked to join some religion or you felt uncomfortable because they were hearing an album about drug use or whatever. Just an album that could touch people in a way that we thought that we could write songs for. And so far it's been really unbelievable. I'm really glad that, not that I'm glad that bad things happened, but I'm really glad that we were forced to actually do this. Because Michael and I met over 20 years ago, and I started doing just music for his, he had worked for an advertising agency. And we started writing songs way back then, and I was doing TV work and was doing a lot of session singing, and kind of had no reason to write songs, but it was really felt like we needed to write these songs. And as it turns out, a lot of the songs that we wrote in that time period, we ended up using on this record, and again, you know, we're old guys, and we have our own way to look at life, and we kind of feel that we met because we were supposed to do this project one day. We just didn't know it. So here we are, and it's really pretty cool.
Let's listen to another song off this unexpected project that John and Michael created. They may be old, but they're not dead yet, and they have a song on the album called Ain't Dead Yet. I hope you enjoy it.
I play guitar. I like that best. the rent. Some days I wonder why am I this guy, and what has all this meant? I share these tunes straight from the heart, and pretty soon you'll know your part. In the refrain or in the verse, these aren't just my songs, I'm passing them along because I heard them first. So when your soul needs fixing and your life's a contradiction and you're burning down like a cigarette, I got songs for addiction or any old affliction, some tunes to help you with your regret. What to remember, what to forget, 'cause you ain't dead yet. You ain't dead yet. I think I'm here for something more. It's not to steer this ship to shore, rescue those who'd rather leave, 'cause I'm part of this crew, I'm in this boat with you, 'cause I've always believed that when your soul needs fixing and your life's a contradiction and you're burning down like a cigarette, I got songs for addiction or any old affliction, some tunes to help you with your regret. What to remember, what to forget, 'cause you ain't dead yet. And maybe you're wondering if this could really help. Remember, I'm singing for you and for myself. So when my soul needs fixing and my life's a contradiction and I'm burning down like a cigarette, I ain't got songs for addiction or any old affliction, some tunes to help me with my regret. What to remember, what to forget. So if you get that feeling when you hear me singing, we're not strangers but friends that haven't met. Well, it's the same back at ya, hope I'm gonna catch ya. This is my intro to what you'll get, 'cause you ain't dead yet. No, you ain't dead yet. No, you ain't dead yet. No, you ain't dead yet.
So as a working musician, I'm interested in what you said about the fact that you and Mike McLean wrote these songs and you didn't really know what they were for or where they were headed to when you were originally writing them, and then this project came to be and you realized you had all those songs that were applying. Did I get that correctly?
Yeah, it is. That really is right. There's a song called It's Not Heavy, a song called Look Inside, a song called Case of Treason, and we didn't know why we were writing those songs, but when this project, you know, came to pass, they were just so perfectly geared for this thing. It was like we already had, although we have a lot of new songs on the record, these songs needed to be on the record because that's why we felt that we were working on this project all along. It just took us a while to catch on.
So do you have, I'm always interested in learning more about what other people do to foster and strengthen and participate in their recovery, in their creativity. Do you have any schedule or strategies or rituals or that you use to help you develop your creativity and help you do your songwriting? Like, do you do well with deadlines? Do you like to have free time? Do you write at the same time every day? What works for you?
You know, I look at it as different phases of a year, basically. There's a writing process. There's the learning of the recording process, and there's the learning of the songs that you just recorded, how to play and present them properly. Then there's going out and touring. And I found that I always need to set aside writing time. I like to do it after I've seen a lot of really creative people, either at, say, at conferences or just go to concerts and by their creativity, and it seems to spark my creativity. And then once you open those gates, it just seems like it all starts coming out. So that's kind of my tool for, not that I'm out there trying to steal their ideas, but it just feels like it lights this fire inside of you. And I found that when you're on the road, you don't have the same situation. Once I have my studio here, I can get any ideas and immediately go into the studio and start, recording. When you're on the road, you get your phone or you got some other recording device, and it's just not the same. So I really need a couple of months to just, start letting ideas come out and then deciding if they're good enough to develop, fully or just throw them away or what the heck to do with them.
Interesting. I mean, I think creativity is such a dance between participating in our community and being engaged with others and then solitude. You kind of need to be able to bounce back and forth between those two spaces.
Without a doubt.
So, John, if people wanted to come see you, what do you have coming up, and how can people get your music?
Well, I have my website, which is my main website, johnbatdorfmusic.com.
And Batdorf, just the audience, is B-A-T-D-O-R-F, and I will put a link up on the show page to John's website.
Great. And on the side of the front page, all the albums that I've done are listed on the left, and there is one for Soundtracks Recovery. We are right now in the process of building the Soundtracks Recovery dedicated website. That's coming soon, and plus we've shot a video for it. And we have plans to what we would like to do is make a video for every song that's on that record. That's our goal, because it's so powerful to see the music to picture, and not just having some guy sing, but actually movies. So
right.
We're trying to raise money. In a way, that's why we, on the website, most of the records we sell there are $15. This particular record, we just ask for donations, starting a minimum of $25. And if someone wants the 5 or 10 records for $25, we will send them. Just give us the address.
Fantastic. And you're going to be out all over the country. John's going to be in California, and then he's going to be in Ohio, and he's going to be in Texas in the fall. So if you are listening from other parts of the country, John's going to be out and about, also in Minnesota, it looks like, and Alabama.
Alabama, yeah. I'm going to be in Tennessee and Missouri. And the best way, I have a really cool music app that, in hearing the music, I think there's 17 or 18 songs in there that are free, and there's videos on there, and there's also the schedule. So if anybody really wanted to find out where I was playing, all you have to do is click on their iPhone or their Android phone, and boom, there it is.
Great. So, again, listeners, there will be a link to that up on the show page on how you can listen to the music, visit the website, and even get the John Batdorf music app. John, thank you so much for taking the time, and we wish you the best of luck with your project and Soundtracks to Recovery. Can't wait to see the videos.
Well, thank you, Kathy.
We still have time to play one more song, so let's listen to this song by John Batdorf and Michael McLean called Won't Go Down That Road Again.
Ourselves wondering how the hell we wound up here. I say I'm sorry, and you say you're leaving, repeating it year after year. This is crazy to think that maybe it won't be just like before.
stop sleeping so long in this bed we both made. There's no question we failed the lesson that life's been trying to teach. That frail mirage has betrayed us because it's a fantasy no one can reach. So I won't.
John told me that he did that song with Arlene Cole, you spell her last name K-O-L-E, and that he doesn't usually do duets, but when he heard her sing, he knew that he wanted to sing with her. So that was Won't Go Down That Road Again with John Batdorf and Arlene Cole off the album called Soundtracks to Recovery. You've been listening to Wings Over Water, Creativity and Recovery on City of Angels Recovery Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Kathy Moser, reminding you that we have shows every single day of the week on City of Angels Recovery Radio. There's comedy shows, there's shows on emotional sobriety, there's shows on self-harm and recovery from that, all different kinds of shows. So please tune in every day. Check out what we have to offer. If you're enjoying the work that we're doing here, please tell a friend. We'll be back next week with another episode about recovery and creativity. Until then, I hope you have a great week being sober, being creative, and sharing those gifts with other people. Be well.